Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Welcome. My name is Anne Wilson and I'm delighted to host the continuation of Emerge Australia's Imagine podcast series, in which we speak to those impacted by and associated with ME/CFS and long COVID. We also have the pleasure of speaking with healthcare and business professionals who deliver care and support to an often struggling community. I acknowledge the traditional custodians of country and their connections to land, sea and community, and pay my respect to elders past and present, noting their continuing contributions, struggles and achievements. For those of you who have listened to our podcast series before, we call this our Imagine series, reflecting on John Lennon's famous song of the same name, and longing for a world where there are no wars, where there is no discrimination or stigma, racism, a world where the voices of those suffering invisibly in silence are heard, seen, and addressed. In the ME/CFS and long COVID space, we long for a world where there is a cure for ME/CFS, or at the very least, a biomarker or diagnostic test. Imagine all the people. So today I'm joined by Helene Badgiatakis, State Manager of Carer Gateway for Mary Health. Helene is a dynamic and passionate professional who has dedicated her work to the community services sector for the last 20 years. Driven by values and a strong sense of social justice, Helene is passionate about driving social impact. She has extensive experience in leading multidisciplinary teams, programs, and services in the care and support sector. She's passionate about shaping the design and delivery of services for current and future generations, especially for diverse communities. Helene's keen interest lies in organizational and program design, change management, and strategic planning. She's an engaging and strong influencer and negotiator who works collaboratively to create mutually beneficial results for service users and business. A purposeful and hands-on leader with a strong sense of community, Helene's strength is building, coaching, and mentoring cross-functional high-performing teams and applying metrics-based best practices to deliver exceptional outcomes for service users, business and its employees. Helene holds an MBA, a graduate diploma in management, and an applied master's in applied positive psychology, among other many qualifications. It's with great pleasure that I welcome you, Helene, to our podcast series.
Thank you so much, Anne. My gosh, who is that woman you just spoke about? I'm very, very delighted to be here with you today.
Oh, thank you. And wow, what a really impressive bio you have. That is just an amazing bio, and it's such a pleasure to interview someone who's such an experienced professional in this space, which is critical, as we're about to hear in a moment. So to start things off, tell us a bit about yourself, what motivates you, what path has your career taken prior to coming into the Carer Gateway and Mary Health role, what interests you? Yeah, just tell us a bit about who you are.
Thank you, Anne. So you've spoken at length around, I guess, what I've been doing over the last 20 or so years, but my very early career actually started in education. So I have always considered myself a natural leader. I'm the eldest of six children, so it's kind of come inherently with the territory. That naturally led me into education and coaching and educating and supporting and leading youth, which I was very, very, and continue to be very, very passionate about. And then I went overseas for a quick trip to the land that my parents come from in Greece. I taught English as a second language there for a couple of years. And then when I came back, I decided that I needed a career change. And that was the beginning of my foray into the services sector in disability and aged care primarily. Outside of my work, I'm a mother, I am a wife, I'm a sister, I'm a friend. And one thing that not a lot of people, except for my very, very close circle, now due to expand, is that I am also a carer. I have the honour and the privilege of being a carer, a primary carer for my beautiful, adorable cousin. He's lived with schizophrenia for the last 40 years of his life. So I am very personally acutely aware of the challenges and the opportunities that potentially lay ahead for carers, which has what has driven me ultimately towards doing my absolute best for this particular role in leading the Carer Gateway in Victoria.
How wonderful. Yeah, there's absolutely nothing like the lived experience to guide your passion for your professional work. And it's such an advantage, I think, to have that lived experience and really be able to relate and empathize with the people that your service is there to support. So that's wonderful to hear. For our listeners who don't know much about Mary Health, I'm hoping you can provide an overview of the organisation and the range of services and supports that you offer to the surrounding communities.
Of course, Anne, thank you. Mary Health is, in fact, one of Victoria's largest not-for-profit community health providers. It's been delivering services in the Northern Metropolitan region for over 45 years, and it supports the well-being of individuals and communities now right across the state through the Care at Gateway program. Mary Health's mission is to improve the health and well-being of communities by, and particularly individuals who are experiencing poorer health. So they're our target population. And we provide a wide range of services that are tailored to meet a range of diverse needs. We, in fact, support people at every stage of life. For families, for example, we offer early childhood interventions and parenting programs and support. For young people, we provide mental health and educational services. For adults and seniors, of course, we offer a range of chronic disease management supports, dental care, and of course, aged care services. Our general practice further underpins our scope service. So we've got quite a holistic approach to health outcomes for our communities. And of course, for carers, from young carers from the age of six and up, we provide the carer support services through the Carer Gateway. Mary Health effectively is a lead service provider, and in Carer Gateway space, we lead a consortia of another six major health providers to deliver really regionally focused supports for carers in their respective areas right across the state, including, of course, the hard-to-reach carers in rural and remote parts of the state. Overall, I guess I would say that Mary Health is deeply committed to community development and engagement, and I think that's evidenced through the breadth of services and supports that we provide. We work very, very closely with local communities to address social determinants of health, to promote social inclusion and build stronger, really more resilient communities. We take a very holistic approach. We look at the whole person and their environment, And we provide integrated care that supports their physical, their mental, as well as their social well-being. I can say with confidence that we are really, really proud of our achievements. We've been a finalist in the 2002 Victorian Premier's Primary Health Service of the Year Award, receiving several other notable recognition. We also recently launched, as I mentioned, our GP services at the Brunswick Community Medical Centre, a trusted practice which is co-located with our Glen Lyon Road, Brunswick site. So with GP-led care, we aim to support improved patient health outcomes by having doctors, allied health professionals and nursing staff collaborate closely as well. Ultimately, Anne, Mary Health is about creating healthy connected communities through localised health services. So we're here and we're passionate about providing support that is inclusive of physical, mental and social determinants for our diverse communities across Victoria.
Well, that's a terrific service. And I mean, I'm sure that people listening will be saying, oh, it's out of my area. You know, are there any other services in Victoria, or are there any other services in my state that deliver that range of holistic services that you've just outlined? What do you know about other similar services, you know, either in our state or you know, in other parts of Australia?
So certainly within the state, there are a range of just over 20 community health organisations that would offer very similar supports. I would strongly suggest that people, they can certainly do a search on Google and find their nearest community health service. They all will all offer something slightly different. However, their purview, I guess, is very, very similar to that. Our point of difference, of course, is the Carer Gateway program, in that it doesn't only offer that service right across the entire state, but it is a national program, and people can certainly gain access to that right across the whole of Australia.
And that's the next question that I'm getting to. So we were fortunate enough to become involved with Carer Gateway Victoria at the end of 2023 through an opportunity we became aware of, and we're very delighted that we did. Can you now outline the philosophy of Carer Gateway for us, both on a local and national level, please?
Of course, Anne, I'd be happy to. Carer Gateway it's an Australian government initiative. It's designed to support carers, and carers are too often the unsung heroes in our communities. In fact, Anne, carers contribute tens of billions of dollars to our economy, for those who don't know, and that's well researched and established by government, in fact. Mary Health is proud to be the lead service provider for Carer Gateway in Victoria. To deliver the service, we work in partnership with six other major healthcare organisations to deliver the vital services across the state. Our partners include Alfred Health, Barwon Health, Bendigo Health, Family Care, who's in the Shepparton region, Grampians Health, and Uniting Victoria and Tasmania. So you can see, and they're fairly, it's a consortium of fairly substantive, well-known, reputable healthcare organisations right across the state. And that's to ensure that we cover every carer in every corner of Victoria. The program's philosophy centres on recognising and valuing the incredible contributions that carers make. At Carer Gateway, our approach is holistic, in that it looks at the whole person and their environment to provide them with comprehensive support. Care recipients, we know, are often supported, sometimes very well supported, by other means, such as through the NDIS or the aged care system, for example. But Carer Gateway exists to solely focus on the individual as the carer. So all the services that we provide are around their needs as a person and as a carer. Once carers make the decision to register with the Carer Gateway, which at this point in time, it can take anywhere up to about 30 minutes, but sometimes less, and it is a very straightforward registration process. A key part of the program's design is to support identification of the carer's needs through a planning phase. And we use what's called the carer star framework. For that, it helps us to understand the carer's situation in a very structured domain and through a whole raft of different areas of their life. It looks into aspects such as their personal health, the nature of their actual caring role, and sometimes carers are in multiple caring roles. They'll care for more than one person at a time. How they're coping at home with day-to-day tasks, their finances, and of course, their personal well-being from a mental and emotional point of view as well. So by assessing these areas, we can create a personalized plan that will address their unique needs and help them to maintain their own well-being and hopefully go on to even flourish in their roles. So it's, I guess, what's truly inspiring about the Carer Gateway model and the program is its commitment to creating a supportive community where carers feel valued and understood. And there's a number of different ways that the Carer Gateway goes about achieving this. The services and the supports provided are dedicated to empowering carers by offering them the resources that they need to continue their invaluable work. So it's about giving back to those who give so much and help them to thrive, both in their caring roles and in their personal lives, which is one of the amazing things that really attracted me to this program to begin with.
Yeah.
Our collaboration with Emerge, which you mentioned, Anne, is a fantastic example of this commitment because Emerge Australia supports people living with ME/CFS, a condition that can be incredibly challenging for both those affected as well as their carers. So by working together, that's a really, really wonderful illustration of how we can better support these carers by providing tailored resources and supports that address the specific challenges that they face.
And that's so important because it takes quite a bit for someone who's a carer to actually reach out for the kind of help that your organisation provides. And that's why we see our collaboration as being so critical, because once we work in collaboration with an agency like yours, we can then, you know, recommend that you do look after the whole person and you do look at, you know, what the specific needs are of each individual carer to try to tailor a package to suit their specific circumstances. So that was one of the things that were attractive to us, but also what was attractive for us was that people don't necessarily know about your service.
Mm.
And so our ability to tell our community that this is a service that is available for you that might actually be a bit different from other carer services, certainly when it comes to looking at the provision of, you know, supports in the home, I was really impressed mm. about that side of it because that's something people don't necessarily think about. So being able to let people know that you're out there and you're willing to speak to people and there is support available and you are not alone is such a major issue. I guess the other issue that is, and you raised it in terms of the breadth of service that Mary Health provides, is the issue of social isolation related to people living in rural, regional and remote areas. And I was recently speaking to the Standing Committee on the NDIS on rural, regional and remote areas. And it's that social isolation and the lack of services on the ground that really leaves people, you know, bereft of the kind of supports that are available to people in metropolitan areas. So it's really reassuring to hear that through Mary Health and other major centres like yours, that people in rural, regional and remote areas can be supported, because, you know, we tend to forget about the plight of people in those areas, both from a carer perspective and the perspective of the patient. So,
yes, yep, you're absolutely right, Anne. And we truly believe that one of our biggest strengths is the consortia partnership, because we're working in combination with localised specialists. So every carer right across the state has the same opportunity to access the same types of services, regardless of how rural or remote they are. And in fact, the issue of social isolation that you mentioned, Anne, is one of the biggest challenges that carers face. I've experienced this myself too. The caring role inherently takes you away from the ability to socialise, depending, of course, on the nature of the caring role itself. It just in and of itself, because you're having to prioritise where your time and focus is. And often one of the first things that has to be sacrificed for carers is that ability to socialise. So the number of friends start to dwindle, and the number of people outside of your, you know, immediate family circle over time do start to drop away, because it just gets harder and harder. And sometimes people feel really awkward. Sometimes people feel that they're imposing on you. And sometimes it comes from us. We make that decision because we just don't have the energy to take that time to reach out to someone, to make time to go out to them, to sit with them, to visit with them, when we know that there's a million and other things that need to probably take priority in the background. So that issue of social isolation is an absolutely critical one, Anne.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. I'm just going through supporting a friend whose parents live in regional Victoria. And what I'm noticing is that the social isolation and the insular environment that not having any additional supports causes really has just a profound impact on behaviour.
Yes.
And then people become apprehensive about asking anyone or telling anyone, and almost don't believe that there's anyone out there that can help them.
Yes.
And so there are a myriad of issues that people face when they feel very isolated and feel that no one understands or cares.
Yes, and that's one of the beautiful things about the Carer Gateway. It's underpinning philosophy is we are here for you, and you are not alone. So, you know, through a raft of services, you know, potentially we'll get into them a little bit later. But, you know, the ability to connect with peers who are experiencing similar sorts of issues in their caring role, the ability to connect with other carers, whether it be in person or online, to just have that ability to mingle with other people who just get what you're going through, it alleviates, carers themselves know how much anxiety that alleviates from them, because they don't have to kind of tell their story or explain their situation away. They're automatically in a group of people who are like-minded and are experiencing the same sorts of things. So that pressure to, you know, perform, I guess, in a relationship, that's gone. So it's a wonderful service offering that really supports carers to not worry about those ordinary social, you know, etiquette requirements that otherwise might feel pressured to, you know, to demonstrate or to comply with. And that's one of the things that we love about our in-person peer support groups and our coaching groups as well.
Fantastic. So you've already spoken about the fact that Carer Gateway is a federal government initiative, and that's where your funding comes from. Can you provide us with some, you know, concrete examples of how Carer Gateway works directly with carers and families?
So I mentioned briefly earlier about how what the intake phase looks like. So you will contact the Carer Gateway on the 1800 number. So that's, you know, I'm sure we'll provide the details, but 1-800-422-737, or via the website, the Carer Gateway website. And you will express your interest to register for the Carer Gateway. And once you're registered, you, depending on the region of Victoria that you live in, you will be put in direct contact with one of those delivery partners that I mentioned earlier, based on your catchment area. You will be paired up with a planning officer, so they will do the care support planning process with you. That can take anywhere up to about 30 minutes to 45 minutes, and you'll discuss the different life domain areas and identify the key areas that you'd like support with. So based on the needs that are identified, we can provide a raft of different services. We can put you in touch with, for emotional and mental support, for example, counselling services. So we have up to about 500 different contractors that we partner with to deliver all of these services. In addition to counselling services, we also offer support packages. So those tailored support packages, I think, are quite unique in that they're non-prescriptive and they are tailored to the specific and unique needs of the carer. So for example, if a carer is looking after a person with, you know, CFS or long COVID, we can provide support at home, for example, or access to respite care. And that will be bundled up in the tailored support package, for example. So this might allow a carer to take a much needed break, knowing that their loved one is in fact receiving quality care. It helps. And that respite care, by the way, could be in the home if the carer wishes to get out of the house, or it could happen in a place-based respite. So there's a range of respite care facilities that we contract with to deliver that respite care so that the carer can just have the quiet space in their own home if that's how they wish to tailor their support. It helps, obviously, the carer recharge their batteries. Another challenge for carers is burnout, so the tailored support packages can help reduce burnout, which is absolutely crucial, especially when you're caring for someone with long-term, you know, chronic health conditions. I mentioned counselling services. That's another practical type of support that we offer, the in-person or the online peer support. We also have different social peer support groups on WhatsApp and a range of other platforms as well. There are other vital services that we offer and allow carers to connect with other carers who are in similar situations through online and e-forums. And again, if you think back to some of the things that I mentioned early on, and it helps to build the sense of community and shared experience, which then can help reduce that feeling of social isolation for carers as well. It's an incredibly comforting and empowering support service type, and we just continue to get such incredibly positive feedback from carers around those types of practical supports. We provide practical assistance through coaching. There are online skills courses. One of the challenges, again, is that carers, which impacts, I guess, from the financial challenges of the caring role, is re-entering or re-engaging the workforce, especially if they've been in long-term caring roles. So the online skills courses that we offer is another practical way of supporting carers to re-engage, either with volunteering or paid employment, if that's a goal that they wish to achieve. So there's some of the examples, Anne, of practical supports that we offer. And of course, there's emergency respite care, which is available 24/7 for carers. So again, that's as simple as calling the 1800 number, and that's routed automatically based on where the carer is calling from. And they're put in touch with supports to provide them with immediate relief in emergency situations. So that could be a dire change in the carer's health if there's a rapid decline in the carer's own, you know, own well-being or health, and they require emergency support to care for the person that they're looking out for, or additional supports for themselves in their caring role as well. So that's just an array, a sort of a sample, I guess, of the practical supports.
Do you also provide, I thought I saw on your website, like supportive appliances or et cetera, or things that people need in their home that they don't have to make their life easier? Is that still something you do, or is that not part of what you do?
So what we do is part of the tailored support packages service offering, depending on the needs. So everything is needs-based, which is why that carer support planning phase is such a crucial phase of the process. So depending on the needs that are identified, if there are some practical supports that are required in the role, which can very directly be linked to the caring role itself, then yes, it's possible that the tailored support package might be able to offer those services. We're certainly not talking about, you know, huge scale, you know, purchasing of white goods or anything like that, because the philosophy of the program is very much centered around the carer and their caring role. The needs that are identified, if there's a very clear linkage, then absolutely that's possible.
Yeah, that's just all included. So I've just wondered, what do you see as the major challenges that carers face in their roles? And you've already outlined what you can Carer Gateway is doing to alleviate those, but what do you see as the major challenges for carers going forward?
There are several significant challenges that carers do face in their roles. And, of course, the keys addressing these is what is going to make a big difference in their lives. One of the major challenges is the emotional and physical toll that the caring role takes. Carers often experience high levels of stress, anxiety, and physical exhaustion. This is especially true for those caring for someone with chronic conditions, as we well know. To alleviate some of these challenges, providing access to counselling and mental health support, as I mentioned earlier, is crucial, and regular respite care as well. Another challenge is the feeling of isolation, which we've also mentioned earlier. So during the consultation and design phase of the Carer Gateway, so just for those who don't know, the Carer Gateway is a major piece of reform in the carer support services space. Before the Carer Gateway went live in April of 2020 specifically, right before the lockdowns, there was an extensive couple of years of consultation with carers. So the Carer Gateway is a program that was designed by carers for carers. So during that consultation phase, many carers express that they find themselves socially isolated because their responsibilities can be all consuming. And indeed, this, as we very well know, is very well supported by research. Financial strain is another significant challenge faced by carers. The current cost of living crisis aside, many carers inherently have to reduce their working hours or, in fact, stop working altogether. And this has a significant impact on their financial resources and can quite often lead to financial hardship. And we know that the government's currently looking at some reforms in carers leave, which is going to be a tremendous help to carers to ensure that they're able to sustain their paid employment as long as they can whilst also being in a caring role. I guess a lack of information and training is another common challenge experienced by carers. They often feel unprepared for their caring role, especially when it's a new diagnosis that's completely come out of the blue. They feel that they're unprepared for the medical and the personal care tasks that they now find themselves needing to perform. So that's where the training programs and the skills courses become invaluable for carers as well. So we offer, in addition to those practical supports, information and advice as part of the Carer Gateway program. And then, of course, finally, navigating just the very, you know, the labyrinth that is our hair care, our healthcare and the social support system as well can be quite overwhelming and is another significant challenge that's faced by carers. So simplifying the access to the services and the information is, you know, providing clear and comprehensive information about available supports, not just those that specifically the Carer Gateway can provide, but a critical support outlay of the Carer Gateway is the broader service mapping across the state of Victoria. So one of our key service offerings is being able to provide carers with information, advice, and referral in some instances to some of those services that can't directly be met via the Carer Gateway. So it truly is that very holistic approach to what the carer needs, and it's not exclusively single focused on what the Carer Gateway can. We are focused on what the needs of the carers are and try and source that from every avenue that's available to them.
So thank you for that. That was a really comprehensive answer, and if I had more time I would ask you a myriad of other questions that have come into my head, but I don't think Jane will allow that. I do want to ask you, on behalf of people listening from other states around Australia, what can people do if they live outside of Victoria?
The wonderful thing about the Carer Gateway is that it is a national initiative. So carers right across Australia have access to the same high quality support, no matter where they live in Australia. So each state and territory has its own network of service providers that are working under the Carer Gateway in partnership with the Department of Social Services to ensure that carers get the help that they need. So if they live in a state other than Victoria, they can still access the Carer Gateway services through the designated providers in their area. And as I said, they offer the same range of services tailored to meet the needs of the carers in their region.
And can they access them through your 1-800 number?
Yes, precisely. So the 1-800 number is a national number, and the way that it's set up is that regardless of where in Australia the carer is, it will automatically route them to their direct Carer Gateway service provider in their region. So they literally do just have to call the 1-800 number and it'll happen automatically for them.
Okay, so two more questions. Sure. What are some of your longer term, sort of more strategic goals for carer support at Carer Gateway Victoria?
So our vision, of course, is to continually improve the support that we provide to carers. And we have an obligation both to the carers, but of course to the Department of Social Services to continually partner with them and provide advocacy and feedback in terms of how the program itself is actually working and the extent to which it is A, delivering on what it's promising to deliver, but B, the impact that it's having on the lives of carers. More specifically, we're looking at expanding access and reach across Victoria. We're continually trying to stretch ourselves to do that. So we aim to increase awareness of the Carer Gateway services so that more carers across Victoria are aware of that. And it's one of the wonderful things that I've loved about our partnership with Emerge, because it's definitely certainly supporting us to be able to do that. Another thing specifically we're looking at is enhancing our service offerings. So we want to develop more specialised coaching and peer support programs that are tailored to the unique needs of carers looking after people with specific conditions such as ME/CFS. We're also hoping, or actively working on, I should say, on improving integration with other healthcare providers more broadly. So strengthened collaborations with healthcare providers is an absolute priority for us by working closely, for example, with GPs right across the state, in country towns and metropolitan regions, hospitals, and of course other health services. We can ensure a more integrated approach because we know that the integration of services is just a challenge, not just in the carer space, but right across the care and support sector. Our other longer term goal is innovation through technology. So we're committed to leveraging technology to provide better for support for carers. And of course, one of the things that we constantly think about is our younger carers. When you think of how young some of our co-carers are, their technology is their jam, as they say. So we're constantly looking at innovation through technology to be able to reach carers right across the agescape. And of course, building stronger community networks more broadly by creating robust support networks within the community, which is crucial. Advocacy and policy influence is an ongoing strategic goal of ours. So again, working in partnership with the Department of Social Services, we'll continue to advocate for what benefits the carers, working alongside government bodies and other stakeholders. And I think finally, sustainability and continuous improvement, which is an inherent nature of all of those strategies. And Maryhealth is absolutely committed to ensuring the sustainability of our services along with our consortia partners through continuous improvement.
That is amazing. So do you have any closing remarks that you'd like to leave our listeners with regarding any part of your service that you deliver? Any closing messages that you might want to make?
I would love to, Anne. I just want to emphasise that carers are truly the backbone of our communities. Their dedication and their sacrifice often goes unrecognised, but their impact is just so immense. Just think about that figure that I mentioned earlier. But if I could just speak directly to carers listening for a couple of minutes. Many people don't label themselves as a carer, inverted commas, in the way that, say, the Carers Recognition Act does, you know, label what they do, because we just do what we do. Caring is often identified as, it's often just an inherent part of who we are as people, or in fact, an inherent part of family units, or as part of a micro community within, of course, a larger community. You just get on with the role of caring. If you look after someone with a chronic condition or is frail or aged or lives with a mental health or a physical condition, you are a carer and free support is available to you and you are not alone. Access to carer support through the Carer Gateway can potentially make a world of difference for individuals and families. And I encourage all carers listening or people who are listening who know of a carer to encourage them to reach out and make use of the free resources that are available through the Carer Gateway. And remember, taking care of yourself is perhaps more important than taking care of your loved ones, because if you're not there to do it, think of the alternative.
Yeah, absolutely. They're just words of wisdom. Thank you so much, Helene, for your time and for your willingness to share your knowledge and experience. The work of your service is so important to those struggling to care for a loved one, and as you now say, to those who don't really see themselves as a carer. It's so critical that carers look after themselves so that they can actually look after their loved ones. And the more that Emerge Australia can assist to spread the word about what you do and how people can contact your service, the better. So to contact Carer Gateway, please feel free to call 1-800-422-737. And that will divert to your own state. So you can then speak to people in your own state about how you can obtain support. The Emerge Australia podcast series seeks to speak with people of influence like Helene and those whose voices need to be heard. This is a platform where we can together explore the pressing issues faced by the community, faced by 250,000 people with ME/CFS and at least 400,000 more with long COVID. If the content of this or other Emerge Australia podcasts has triggered an emotional response for you and for which you may need assistance, feel free to contact Lifeline on 1300 1114, their Crisis Support and Suicide Prevention Service. You may also go onto the Emerge Australia website where emergency services are listed. Tune in again for our next interview. Soon we'll be announcing more in our revised Imagine podcast series, where we'll be speaking to people from within the community, some more leading clinicians worldwide, and researchers. So please stay tuned, and stay tuned for all the information on the work that Emerge Australia does in the community. You can subscribe to the Emerge Australia newsletter, where you can find out what we're up to on a month-by-month basis by going onto our website at www.emerge.org.au. Heleni, thank you very much for joining us today, and bye for now.
You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one, and I hope someday you'll join us and the world